It's become something of a trend that news about the COVID-19 pandemic happens in the hours after our weekly visit with Dr. Jim Shames, the medical director of Jackson County Health and Human Services, and that certainly happened last week. Within a few hours of our chat, the state of Oregon released figures for the last two-week cycle of case counts, and Jackson County showed a decline in new cases over those 2 weeks, the first such decline in quite a while. Let's take up that news and other events in the pandemic. Dr. Shames, welcome back.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Glad to be here.
Good to have you. So we had Jackson County case numbers finally headed downward for two straight weeks after 6 weeks of rise. Governor announced new vaccination targets to hit to allow reopening on Thursday. Governor of Oregon, I should point out. And then the CDC on Friday with its new mask guidance. Can you pull these apart for us?
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot going on. Well, for the first, the trend is downward, thank goodness. And we are, I suppose, legitimately in the extreme category, and we're hoping that the numbers will keep going down for Jackson County.
In literally extreme or in high, did you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry, I meant high. Thank you very much. Yeah, we were remaining in high because of the governor's mandate about the extreme category. Yeah.
So technically, we should have been an extreme, but now we're more actually
correct.
High. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for wording that properly.
Sure.
As far as the governor's guidance about opening up and making all of the risk categories go away, the governor has said that when the average vaccination for those 16 and older throughout the state is at least 70%. The entire state will open up. There are some counties that are close at about 65%, and those counties can submit an equity framework to the governor, and they may be allowed to completely open up beforehand. And the date the governor's setting for this is the first day of July, last day of September. And at 62.1%, which is the cumulative vaccination numbers so far, it does look like we're going to get there as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how does Jackson County's numbers compare to the statewide average?
The data I have says that we're at 47.6%. Mm-hmm. And as I said, the average for the state is 62.1%. And when you look at the region, Josephine's 41.5, Douglas is 37.7, and Klamath is 41%. These numbers should be taken with a grain of salt. One reason is that we don't have good data from the VA, and the VA presence is pretty large, certainly in Douglas compared to its population in Jackson County. And so we think that our numbers are actually a bit higher than that.
All right. So what about now the mask guidance then came in on top of the stuff that the governor is doing with the vaccination targets. And I know even from reading health updates from Jackson County that there's a concern about a lot of unanswered questions for states to sort out.
Right. So the CDC kind of surprised everyone with the statement that if you're vaccinated, fully vaccinated, that you can pretty much go unmasked, both indoors and outdoors, with some exceptions. And they're basing that on an analysis of some recent science to suggest that the vaccines are even more protective than we thought they were, and that you know, society needs to return to normal, and people need to be encouraged to get vaccinated, and so this is their ruling. Because it came a bit out of the blue, every state has to sort of analyze it and make decisions about, you know, how they're going to enact that within the state, and we're still waiting for further guidance from the governor's office.
All right, Jan, I see the Jackson County release dated, this would be Sunday, until we have vaccination verification guidance and procedures in place, businesses should continue following current guidance. So basically, stay the course until there's further clarification?
Well, that's the governor's statement. I think some businesses are kind of making sense out of what to do with it, especially some of the larger national corporations like Costco, for example. I believe has said, you know, we're requesting that individuals who are not vaccinated wear masks. Other people don't have to, but that they're not checking. So, you know, it's on the honor system, so to speak.
Okay, let's a couple of contacts here from people. Let's get the Jessica No Town Given Center message in on Saturday, it looks like. She writes, you speak of anti-vaxxers, but what about those who want the vaccine but that are just plain terrified of it? Not enough attention or focus is being put on that. She writes, I have an elderly friend who's in major conflict because she wants to be able to travel but is very frightened of needles and has had severe reactions to other vaccines, like a TB shot. She even had an anaphylactic reaction when she had acupuncture once. I believe fear is a major deterrent when it comes to many who've resisted getting vaccinated. There need to be sites where people can be of support and be watched over for more than 15 minutes. Jessica writes, her friend is also angry that the CDC has lifted mask wearing for the vaccinated so prematurely. She now refuses to shop at Trader Joe's. So, Dr. Shames, what do you say to those who want to get vaccinated so as to be more liberated but are truly terrified of it and the damage it could cause? And why can't the vaccine come in another form besides via a needle? That again from Jessica, No Town Given.
All right. Well, Jeffrey, help me stay on track on this so I don't miss pieces of that.
Okay.
First of all, I don't like derogatory terms for anyone, really. Anti-vaxxers, I think, is a, you know, sort of would suggest that people, you know, people have a preconceived idea about the vaccination. Some do, but my experience is more like what she's saying, which is people are frightened. They don't feel like they know enough. I think it's a very large number of people are still waiting to sort of see the proof with their own eyes that the vaccine is safe. So I get that. And I actually think that over time, many of the people that we're, you know, thinking are solidly against vaccines are going to get vaccines. In terms of information, there's lots of information out there. I personally am trying all I can to share what I know, but obviously we can't reach everyone. There is so much personnel at the Equity site at the expo that people could get their vaccine, could chat, they could sit around and feel safe. The same thing is true at the walk-in clinic at the expo. So I think there's a number of venues still where you could get lots of support. You could even probably come and say, hey, look, you know, can somebody talk to me about the vaccine before I get it? And you could get your questions answered. So hopefully there's a lot of information out there accessible to people. What other parts did I miss on that?
There's just a major concern about the fear of needles. That's a big one, it seems like, for some people.
And Jessica
finishes up with wondering why this can't be delivered some other way. Some of us are old enough to remember the polio vaccines and sugar cubes.
Yeah. I think there's some work on a nasal vaccine, a nasal spray. And I think there's work on a little micro puncture patch that you could put on your skin. But I don't know where the development on those are. So I think at the moment, we've got the traditional vaccine.
All right. Dr. Jim Shames here from Jackson County Health and Human Services. Once again, answering our questions, 800-838-3760 on the phone. Emails to jx@jeffnet.org. David in Central Point, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I know a lot of people that are not what you call anti-vaxxers in general, but people that definitely, you know, given the actual mortality and side effects of the actual virus, would like to see the vaccine from these major pharmaceutical companies go through the conventional approval channels. So I'm wondering about the ethics of the governor arriving at a number and saying, well, this is, you know, the 70% threshold is kind of held out like a carrot on a stick as the number that we have to be fully reopened. I'm just wondering if it's ethical to require that 70% of people, you know, ideologically agree with taking something that's not been approved through the conventional channels.
All right, David, thanks for that. So Dr. Shames, this gets back to what I've heard before, too, about the concern that this is emergency use authorization, not actual final approval in the usual slot.
Yeah, my take on the vaccine is that no corners were cut. This was not a compromised vaccine. What happened that made this so different than any other vaccine was the federal government stepped in and took away financial risk such that vaccine manufacturers could simultaneously do safety studies, they could do efficacy studies, they could create factories and start the manufacturing process, figure out the routes to get the substance they need to create the vaccine, blow the glass for the bottles, make the latex tops. They essentially were running a whole bunch of operations at the same time, bring them up to speed in a way they never could do without the support that came along with this Operation Warp Speed. So that is to say, they were able to bring a vaccine to market in less than a year, but they didn't cut any corners to do it. You know, the studies were very rigorous. We had solid data that this was a safe vaccine and an effective vaccine, and then could immediately start getting into people's arms. So, and we've now gotten hundreds of millions of shots accomplished, and these vaccines continue to prove to be very safe and very effective. So, you know, in terms of emergency use authorization, I'm sure that's going to go away shortly. I think this vaccine has proven itself, and the disease is certainly serious and not getting any weaker. The vaccine is very effective, so I mean, ethics is ultimately in the eye of the beholder. I don't feel like this is an unethical process. Because it keeps the individual safe and it keeps the public safe as we get vaccine numbers up.
Now, where the mRNA vaccines come in, essentially this is a technology that was already built. I liken this to having the car built, just needing to know which engine to put into it. Is that a pretty good analogy?
Yeah, I think that is. I mean, it's an amazing technology, but it's been sitting on the shelf for 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of waiting for the right vaccination need to come along, and it came along.
There it is. All right. Let's see. Another question from, this is from Richard in Glendale, asks about the responses that you get after the vaccine and wants to know if a stronger physical response indicates a stronger immune response. If you get sicker if you feel a little woozy from the vaccine itself, does that indicate you got a good take?
Well, I think that's what the reaction is. It's the immune system ramping up. I'm not sure that the degree of sort of post-vaccine illness that some people feel directly correlates to the amount of protection you get. Fortunately, almost everybody gets really good protection. You know, children, for example, often have very robust immune responses, and yet the studies on adolescents who've been getting the Pfizer vaccine show that their reactions are no greater than, and in some cases less than, those of adults. So I don't know. I haven't read for sure there's a straight line correlation.
All right. And then Henry in Reading asks about CDC guidelines on vaccine numbers and the basis for them. He says, I've already been vaccinated, but what is my risk from someone who's not vaccinated?
Well, one of the reasons that the CDC sort of opened up society as much as it did for those that are vaccinated is they felt like they really finally got the proof they were looking for, that when you're vaccinated, you are unlikely, very unlikely, to carry the virus to others. That is to say, you're not likely to be a vector, even if you don't get sick. And I think that was sort of the last piece, you know, for community guidance on vaccination that we were waiting for.
And Ginger and Talent sent an email. She says, I'm wondering why, with all the talk about vaccinated people being able to do practically everything now without a mask, and even stores loosening restrictions about wearing masks, even when there's many people around, no one is addressing the fact that the people who never wanted to wear a mask in the first place are certainly not going to start now. That means I can no longer distinguish between someone who's been vaccinated and someone who has not. How risky is it for me to go on to, say, a church, theater, or a store without wearing my mask? That again from Ginger and Talent.
Well, I think what the CDC is saying is that, you know, you are safe. I mean, the vaccine is so good that you're going to be safe doing those things. I completely agree. You know, it does get quite confusing to know what does it mean that somebody's wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. Are they, you know, making a statement, or are they truly, you know, unvaccinated and searching for the vaccine? Or I don't know. This is all very new. We're going to see how it plays out. But the bottom line is that the CDC feels that the data they're now looking at would suggest that you are safe going maskless indoors and outdoors, with the exception of some very crowded situations or transportation like trains, buses, and airlines. And, you know, I think we're still waiting to hear more about why they made that particular judgment.
All right, so in close quarters then. I mean, and it seems like if you're concerned about other people not having masks, if you're still wearing one, you're taking some degree of protection for yourself, aren't you?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Right.
All right, so that's...
And people, yeah, people can choose. I mean, I've noticed walking around that a lot of people are choosing to keep wearing masks. Mm-hmm. They, you know, that just... It's the comfort level they have, and they're taking their time about following the CDC guidance.
It has been an interesting mix to see that since last Friday. Just to catch up on, we barely talked about the Vaccination Equity Center at the Jackson County Expo. So it's a walk-in site for Moderna, Monday to Friday, 9 to 12 and 1 to 6. It's a drive-through site for Pfizer, and this is now taking 12 years old and up. So every day, 12 to 7, Wednesday and Thursday, additional hours, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. I think I got that right.
I think you did too.
Okay, there we go. Those are the hours at the Vaccination Equity Day. Free, so just show up. You don't need an appointment to get one, to get a shot there, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Easy. Don't bring ID, just show up.
Okay, just show up. All right, Dr. Jim Shames is the Medical Director of Jackson County Health and Human Services. A flurry of questions this week. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jeffrey.